fret over failure, grieve over past sin. Those times when I wasn't all I should have been, when doubt tries to come rushing in like a flood, there's one thing that holds me. I'm trusting the blood.
I'm trusting the blood. Jesus paid for my sins. It still has the power to heal and to cleanse. God's mercy is flowing. It won rips and floods. I'm washed and made whole. I'm trusting the blood.
Jesus won a great victory that day on the tree, and he said in his name I could claim it for me, for all of my needs. He is more than enough. So I'm looking
Good morning to everyone, and good to see you this morning, and welcome everybody to Calvary Baptist Church of Powder Springs, and say it's good to be alive today, isn't it? Good to be spiritually alive, and we appreciate the Lord and appreciate His blessings on our life, and appreciate Calvary Baptist Church. just want to call your attention to our bulletins this morning. Be sure to grab a bulletin. Look in the prayer section of the bulletin. It just seems like it keeps on getting larger and larger. And then we'll take a few off after some answered prayer, and then others take that spot. And so there's definitely an active prayer ministry taking place here at the church and with among the members, family and friends of Calvary. So do remember everybody in prayer this morning. Tell you what, I'm not going to say much this morning. We're just going to have a word of prayer. I want to turn it back over to Brother Allen, and we're going to see what the Lord has for us this morning. Did you come to get a word this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Do you need direction in your life? Do you need to hear from the Lord? Well, you come to the right place. And we went through all the trouble of getting ready and all of those things, and we're here now. So let's just take the brakes off, relax. Worship Jesus this morning. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name. The name, Lord, that's above every name. And oh God, we're so very thankful for the gift of salvation. Lord, we're thankful for, Lord, after someone receives salvation, Lord, you begin to work in their lives and separate them from the world and the flesh. We know this is a lifelong process, but we're thankful, Lord, that you do make us holy each and every day. Father, we pray for the prayer sheet this morning. We pray for those that are in need of prayer, those in the hospital, those, Lord, that have been in the hospital, those that are at home, our shut-ins. Lord, we pray for Brother Charlie Wilson this morning, who was on his way to church but was overwhelmed by dizziness and had to go home. Lord, we pray for him. We pray, Lord, for Miss Rebecca Ashworth, who's getting ready to have surgery. Lord, on the 12th, we pray that you'd touch her, oh Lord, in a very mighty and special way. Barbara Ann, who's at Cobb, Father, we pray that you would minister to her, use the doctors. Lord, allow her to eat some solid foods and come back to health, Lord. And Father, we do pray for all of those who are behind the sick people, who are taking care of them and making sure that they have their medications and meet their doctor appointments. Lord, that's a whole other ministry and job. We pray for strength and grace for them. And Father, we pray this morning that you would manifest yourself. Be real to us, Lord, this morning. We want you to be. We invite you to show up this morning and speak into our lives, Lord. Let it not just be music, but Lord, let it be music with a message. Let it not just be speaking from the Bible, but let it be preaching and teaching from the Bible, the words of life. Lord, let it take root in our hearts and let us be different. Let us be changed. Father, we thank you for the cross of Calvary, and we thank you for the church of Calvary. This open door here, Lord, let us go out to the community and shine our lights before men. Lord, most of all, help us to maintain a testimony for you, live our life above reproach, because the world is watching. Help us, Lord, to be different. We love you, we thank you, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Allen.
Choir, stand with me. Church, stand with me this morning. Aren't you thankful for God's amazing grace this morning? It's what has saved us. It is what keeps us. And it is what will take us home one day soon. God's amazing grace. Page number 57, if you need it, let's all stand, sing, and praise Him this morning for His amazing grace. Amazing grace, how sweet. Second, sing the second verse now. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour. Let's just sing it all now on the third verse. Sing it all, the third verse. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe. Sing the last. Thank you. You can be seated. Choir, you can be seated. Again, it is good to see you. The Lord's house on the Lord's day. What a beautiful day that He has made for us today. A little crisp out there this morning compared to the week. It seemed like we had a summer week, and now we have a winter Sunday. But it is good to see you here in the house of the Lord today. Many prayer requests today. And my mother-in-law, Miss Betty, is still... She is staying back with us this weekend. She goes back to the doctor on Friday, and I request your prayers. And she said, for everyone that always comes and speaks to me, please tell them I miss them, and I'll see them next Sunday. So she really misses being in the Lord's house, but hopefully she'll be able to be back with us next Sunday. So if you would, please keep her in prayer. Again, she goes to the doctor, to the neurologist, this Friday. So that's a prayer request. And many, many other prayer requests. Miss Barbara Ann is over at Wellstar Cobb this morning, so please remember her in prayer. And again, many others. We've heard, I'm sure, many prayer requests already since we've been here this morning. So let's ask the Lord to be with those. Remember, service this evening at 6. Of course, Bible study at 7 on Wednesday. Choir, meet me here at 5 o'clock this evening. And please be much in prayer for the choir. We're trying our best to get ready to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. Easter Sunday morning is, I believe that's the 21st this year, next month, which next month is right around the corner, like this week. Tomorrow is April the 1st. Can you believe that? It is hard to believe that we are at April here. So a lot of folks are traveling. It is spring break this coming week. So remember them in prayer, that the Lord give them a good time of rest, bring them back safely to us next week, and it is a good time. We're probably a little jealous that we're not sitting on a beach with them somewhere, I guess. But remember them in prayer, that the Lord bring them back to us safely. Let's go to Him in a word of prayer. Ask Him to be with us today. It is a great day in the house of the Lord, and we're praying that a soul will be saved here today at Calvary, and hearts would be touched and changed. We'd be brought closer to Him today. Brother Don Nettles, would you take us to the Lord this morning, a word of prayer?
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we humbly bow before you once again, Lord. Come, praise your holy name. Thank you for your Son, shed his precious blood and power for the remission of our sins. Thank you for the opportunity that you have for us, Lord. Through us too, we will say, by your word, in your grace. Lord, every request, know each and every one of them.
in Sunday school this morning, we were talking about life. You never know what a day holds. CJ this week has had, I hope you don't mind me sharing it. There's a praise that goes along with the prayer request. He shared in our class and a little bit with the choir this morning, I think, but he works for Coca-Cola and has had two accidents this week. Ooh. Two of both of those, which were not his fault, there, because there lies the praise, and still has a job. Amen? Somebody say amen right there. But you don't know that's happening that morning when you get up and leave the house. Charlie gets up this morning to come to church, thinking everything's fine, I'm sure, and has to go back home because of such dizziness that he can't make it here. Rebecca Ashworth gets up and goes to the doctor one morning and finds out that she has cancer. After everything that she's gone through with William and John and her dad, and now she's facing surgery on the 12th. You get a phone call one day and it seems like your life's turned upside down with a phone call. You just never know what life holds, do you? But there is one thing that is steadfast and true. I shared with the class that yesterday I performed a wedding ceremony with a young couple. His name was Ricardo and hers, Kristen. I had never met them before. You say, well, why in the world would they call you? I just go when they call, you know. But I had an opportunity, and this is the reason that I go. They had chosen to do this partner ceremony. You know, back when we had weddings, we did unity candles. Everybody knows unity candles. You know, those are the easy. We remember those. But they had chosen what Taylor and Aaron chose, the rope ceremony. I had seen it, I'd heard about it, but I'd only seen it on a picture, and I didn't know really anything about it. And I always try to share a little bit about what the ceremony represents, the symbol of it. And I noticed at rehearsal on Friday that there were three strands of rope. And I went home and asked the Lord to give me a little something to say. And I noticed that it looked a lot like she was braiding a young lady's hair. But he had one strand, she had the other, and in the center was one strand of rope standing alone. And they began to weave those three strands of rope together. And I said this. I said, Ricardo, the tears had already run down his face and began to dry when she came out of the doorway, standing there. You know, rehearsal, he's Mr. Macho, cracking jokes and everything. But boy, when she came through the doorway, he's swallowing the tears back. Anyway, I said, Ricardo, that strand of rope represents you as the husband. Kristen, the other strand of rope represents you as the wife. But that strand of rope in the middle represents the Lord God. And if you will always leave Him in the center of your life and use Him in the center of your life, you won't have to worry, because your relationship
In the book of Ecclesiastes, it says, will not easily be broken. No matter what life brings, I have found this to be true. I've been through enough to know that He is enough for me. When I first began to walk with the Lord, I did not really trust Him. How He longed for me to understand that I could. So through the valley led me, afraid as I could be, till I felt His loving arms embracing me. Why would I ever doubt a God whose hands hold the universe? And why would I ever question His abilities? There's no place that I can go where He does not know the things that trouble me. He's always aware of where I am and what I need. I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough for me. He's come through too many times that puts my mind at ease for good. And I'll stake my very life that He's gonna take care of me. 'Cause I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough. Oh, I believe Him now. After all these years, He's been so faithful. He's proven to be true. Oh, nevermore will I doubt or question why. 'Cause I've seen Him work before, and I know what God can do. Come through too many times that puts my mind at ease for good. And I'll stake my very life that He's gonna take care of me. 'Cause I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough for me. Cause I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough for me. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. He's all. 'cause I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough for me.
And I remember when I first surrendered the call to preach, and there's one thing about it. You got to be instant in season and out of season. But I appreciate Brother Eddie being willing to sing one for us and Brother David play. So.
Thank you, preacher. How's everybody doing this morning? It's a wonderful day to be in the house of the Lord. You know, every time I come to church, I have a smile on my face. I just can't help it. Watch this. When I say Jesus, Jesus. Okay, I'm going to try to sing one without the guitar this morning. Y'all pray for us. Just drop one in on him, and I told him what chord is in. He went, what? So. But we're gonna try to get through it. I bet a little bit like everybody else with this here pollen. So I like to say that... I don't ever get a chance to speak out about the Lord other than just individually, but while I'm up here, I will like to say that I'm proud to be a part of this church, and I feel God in this church. I don't come every Sunday, but when I'm here, I feel a lot closer, although when I'm not here, I'm still close to Him. I want you to know that. So. Y'all can sing along if you want to. Shackled by a heavy burden, 'neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same, because He touched me, yes, He touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed blessed Savior. Since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him, and I'll shout it while eternity rolls, because he touched me. Yes, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Amen.
From time to time, I like to throw the devil off. And sometimes he can predict how church goes. And I like to throw him off from time to time. Appreciate that, Brother Eddie. Brother David, we appreciate that as well. Let's take our Bibles for a few moments this morning and turn to the New Testament book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 6. And we have a quick release over here on this side. And that's good. Ephesians chapter number 6 this morning. And we're going to read one verse, verse number 18, in just a moment. And then we're going to bring around the subject that we felt impressed to talk about for some time now. And let's bow for a word of prayer, and then we're going to summarize a little bit of Ephesians 6 and then read one verse, verse number 18. Heavenly Father, we pause one more time and thank you, Lord, for touching us. Lord, there is healing power. Lord, there is resurrecting power. There's all power, Lord, in your touch, Lord, in your voice, in your words. And we're thankful for that. Lord, for the next few moments, I pray that you would touch us once again and allow us to convey the message, Lord, I believe that you want your people to have this morning. Just some reminders of things that we already know, but let us see them in a new light, Lord, and let us be refreshed by them. And Lord, we'll praise you and thank you for what you've done, and Lord, what you're doing, and what you're going to do. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. In Ephesians chapter number 6, we know that Paul records the armor of God, and we know that these are spiritual elements, because when you look at the armor of God in verse number, it starts in verse number 10 down to verse number 19, we know that he's talking about the identity of Jesus. We know that we physically do not, in verse 14, put on a physical belt of truth or a physical breastplate. Then verse 15, physical shoes, physical shield, physical helmet and sword. We know these are spiritual elements. And I believe these elements make up the identity of Jesus. And we know that when the identity of Jesus is seen, that the enemy doesn't have a chance against us. And so each and every day that we live, if we fail to recognize that we are of the truth and we have the truth, if we fail to apply that breastplate of righteousness, recognize that we have a breastplate of righteousness by Jesus, if we do not apply or prepare our going out and our coming in, our pathway, if we do not put on that spiritual helmet of salvation and pick up the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, we know that we're starting our day not fully dressed spiritually. We know that the enemy would come in and attack us. So I believe that all of these pieces of this warrior, of this soldier, has to do with the identity of Jesus. And the Bible says that we're to take off the old man and put on the new man. Look, if you would, in verse number 10. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." He tells us to put on. And this is something that must be deliberate. This is something that must be intentional. We must each and every day wake up and realize that we're no match for the enemy. We're no match for the flesh. We must acknowledge Jesus as we start our day. And we must put Him on or recognize His power in our life. But if you look in verse number 18, Paul is summarizing all of these pieces of the warrior's armor. And then he begins to talk about prayer. Look in verse 18. He says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." And so Paul caps off this suiting up of this spiritual warrior with prayer. And I want to call your attention in verse number 18 to one word, and that is the word "all." He says, "Praying always with all prayer." All prayer. I want to talk to you this morning on the subject of the acts of prayer. The acts of prayer. Again, Paul uses the word "all" here, because when it comes to prayer and it comes to our prayer life and it comes to situations in life, all kinds of prayers are sent up to the Lord. Now, let me just go ahead and say this before we go any further, that this particular message this morning is really a topical classroom style approach. It's not necessarily an emergency throw out the life rope approach as I normally bring on Sundays. But this morning I believe the Lord would have us look at the acts of prayer. You and I this morning, as we travel through life and we encounter hardships, we encounter good times where we rejoice in the Lord and all the rest of it, depending upon the situation, there are different kinds of prayer that we pray. If you notice, from Genesis to Revelations, there are countless recorded prayers that have been made by men, women, boys, and girls. All kinds of prayers. Hundreds of prayers. And as I personally looked into many of these prayers, I found that there are at least four kinds of prayers that began to surface that carry a common theme with all of life's problems. And that is the acts of prayer. The acts of prayer. You say, what do you mean, acts of prayer? Well, the word "acts," and I want to take that word "acts" this morning and use it as an acronym. And an acronym is a word that carries meaning with each letter. For example, we have the word NASA. NASA. NASA is an acronym. Well, ACTS is an acronym. But also, not only are there acronyms, but at the same time, there's something called initialism. And initialism is basically, it almost looks the same way as an acronym, such as ACTS or NASA. But initialism has to do with abbreviation. For example, FBI, you would know that that's not a word that's to be said. It's an abbreviated. It's abbreviated letters. Federal Bureau of Investigation. You wouldn't say FBI as a word. If you did, it'd sound like FBI. It's not meant to be said. It's initialism. Federal Bureau of Investigation. But ACTS and NASA is an acronym. You say it. ACTS, NASA. And it carries meanings with each letter. Now, let me say this and we'll move on. For anybody after the service that will come up to me and tell me what NASA means, the acronym for NASA, I'll put your name in the bulletin next Sunday, and I'll put it under the heading, Acronym versus Initialism, and I'll put winner in your name. So if anybody can tell me that right after the service, the first one to tell me that, what NASA is an acronym for, you'll have your name in the bulletin next week. Sounds like a deal? All right. ACTS. Let's look at the word ACTS. I'm trying to grab you in here, make you part of it. So what is it? What are the four prayers that are common in the Bible that can be placed within the letters A-C-T-S, ACTS? I believe, first of all, there's the letter A, and you'll find that A can stand for adoration. Adoration. There's the prayer of adoration. And so the prayer of adoration is one of the acts of prayer. And as you study the Bible, you'll know and you'll see many times people that enter into an atmosphere of prayer with adoration. Now, the word adoration means deep love and respect. It means to adore. It means to have a deep-seated love or respect in your heart for a person. You adore them. Now, this love or this adoration is not because of what somebody gives you or what somebody does per se, but when somebody is adored, it's not because of what they do, but when somebody is adored, it's because of who they are. You'll find out in life that people will not always do what you want them to do. And then there's other people who, because they're kind and they're gentle and they're loving, and listen, sometimes they do what you want them to do. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they go the extra mile. But because of who they are and the kind of spirit they possess, you adore them. You have a deep-seated love for them or respect. So this morning, the letter A can stand for adoration. And it's praise for who God is. I think it'd be good from time to time whenever we go to the Lord in prayer that we ought to come with the spirit of adoration. Lord, I adore you not for what you do per se, but just for who you are. Who is God? Who is this one we adore then? I mean, we come into his presence and we thank him for who he is. Well, who is God? I like to say that God, number one, is love. John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God is love. God also is faithful. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, though we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. And I'm speaking about things that are to be linked to our prayer life. It'd be good for us to enter into prayer from time to time, just thanking God that he's a God of love, thanking God that he's a faithful God for what he has done and what he's doing and what he's going to do. But God also is good, the Bible says in Psalm 86 verse number 5. God is patient. 2 Peter chapter 3 in verse number 9 tells us that he is long suffering toward usward. And then in Isaiah chapter number 6 and verse 3, we see that God is holy. Ephesians 2, 4, we find out that God is graceful. James chapter number 1 and verse number 17, God is immutable, meaning he is unchanging. In Ephesians 1 and verse number 11, we see that God is sovereign. which is another word for being in control. In Psalm 139, verse number 1, God is omniscient, meaning that He knows everything. In Jeremiah chapter number 32, verse 17, God is omnipotent, which means He has all power. Psalm 139, verse 7 and 8, God is omnipresent, meaning He is everywhere at the same time. And what are you saying, Brother Justin? As you look at the Bible, you'll see that many people, time and time and time again, they enter into prayer, not necessarily asking for stuff, but just saying a prayer of adoration. Lord, I thank You for loving me. I thank You for being faithful. Lord, I thank You for being good to me. Lord, thank You for Your patience. Lord, thank You for being holy and graceful. And God, I'm thankful that You do not change, because I've changed at times. Lord, I'm thankful that You're sovereign, You're in control. And Lord, I'm thankful that You know everything. And Lord, because You know everything, I can trust You with tomorrow in whatever pathway You may direct me in. And Lord, I'm thankful, and I just want to adore You for who You are, because You're omnipotent. You have all power. Lord, we're not worried about the White House. We're not worried about politics. We're not worried about the things of the world. Why is that? Because God is omnipotent. He has all power. And God is omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. I think from time to time it'll do us all good. When we come before the Lord, we ought to come in the spirit of adoration, or a prayer of adoration, and just thanking God for who He is. I was reading the other day concerning this subject of adoration. And one person said, when they come before the Lord, the very first thing they do, they come with a prayer of adoration, and they reflect on His nature. Just think about that for a moment. They reflect on His nature. Sometime this week, when we enter into our prayer closet, our time of prayer, I challenge each and every one of us to do this. There may be needs, and there may be things and deadlines and responsibilities. Do this first. Go into that time of prayer and simply reflect on who He is first. Lord, I know that things are in Your control, and stop and think about it. Lord, I know that You know all things. Stop and think about it. Lord, I know that You are all love. Stop and think about it. We get in such a hurry in our prayer life, don't we? We get in such a hurry. And listen, there are needs, and there's things that happen in life, and we have responsibilities, and we need direction. But the older I get in the Lord, the more I'm starting to learn that it's not necessarily what I need that I'm caught up in. Or it's not necessarily me needing the Lord to meet a need is what I need, as it is me needing to allow the Lord to just have His way. You see, when we get caught up in Jesus, He meets those needs. Many times we come to the Lord with legitimate needs, and sometimes there's other things we ask for prayer about, and then we stop, and then we look for the answer. Well, did He answer it? Oh, things are still the same. And then we go back again, and we'll pray, Lord, I got to have You intervene in this area. Lord, I really need You to touch me here. And then we leave our prayer closet, and we get back in the world, and things are the same. But you see, when things transition the way they should when it comes to prayer, whether the need is met or not, listen, this is much easier preached than lived, but I have to say, whether the need is met or not, you have been meeting with one who has all power. You are meeting with one who is long-suffering. Whether the needs are met or not in our particular time frames, we know we do serve a God of love. We know we do serve a God who is patient and a God who is kind. We know we do serve a God who has a will, and He has a way. And we know that God is directing our steps. So when we come to the Lord in prayer, it's most important to approach Him with a time of adoration and reflecting upon who he is. I was listening to a sermon, I think it was Monday morning, by a man named Charles Lawson, Knoxville, Tennessee. And he was talking about, I was listening to his Wednesday night sermon. And the Wednesday night sermon was about just simply this, the hand of God. The hand of God. And he made a statement, and I'm still thinking about it, chewing on it, applying it. In that statement, he said that what God has done in your life versus us needing a miracle in our life are two different things. And so I kept on listening. He said, God can show up and like that create a miracle in your life and solve your situation. And then it's over. But then if you start to reflect on God in the past who has moved and who has guided and who has directed, yet this need isn't met in your life, yet God could, he can perform a miracle and he could take care of it. He said that it takes more faith and it takes more, crazy faith to believe God for a miracle now as opposed to believing what he has done. What I'm trying to say is this morning. There may be some needs that you need met this morning, but think about what God has done in your life. And then over time, you can see patterns and ways. And listen, that's just God proving his love for us and us knowing that he will come through. We don't know how he's going to come through. We don't know when he's going to come through. He could perform a miracle right now. But knowing who God is and knowing his nature and knowing how he has provided, it ought to settle any anxiety that we may have. This morning we ought to think about adoration. It's praise for who God is. But then there's another letter here, and that is the letter C. And C could be stood for confession. This has to do with the prayer for forgiveness, confession. Number one, there's the sinner's prayer of confession. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter number 10 for a moment. Romans 10, give you a little activity to do so we can keep moving. Romans 10, there's the sinner's prayer. Romans 10, and notice in verse number 9, if you would. He said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's the letter C, and that's for confession. Confessing and forsaking is the sinner's prayer. Also in the book of Psalm, chapter number 86 and verse number 5, you can listen or you can follow. Notice what he says in Psalm 86, verse number 5. Very short verse. He says this. Psalm 86, verse number 5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. God is ready to forgive this morning. Plenteous in mercy is what the Bible tells us. Not only is there the sinner's prayer, and this has to do with the prayer of forgiveness, the prayer of salvation, but then there's the saint's prayer. What do you mean, saint's prayer? Well, if you turn to, we're in Psalm, if you follow there, turn to Psalm 51 for a moment. Now, confession ought to be a part of the saint's prayer life as well. In Psalm 51, we'll have an account of David and his sin. verse number 1 of Psalm 51, we see the saint's prayer for forgiveness, not for eternal life, but to maintain close communion. He says in verse number 1, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." Listen to this. "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin." Verse number 3, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." David says, "I acknowledged I messed up. I acknowledge that I'm dirty, and I acknowledge I need to be washed and I need to be cleansed." For the saint, it's not the cleansing of regeneration. We've already been regenerated or made new, but yet it's the cleansing of our feet that we walk through this world and we walk through this life and we get dirty from time to time. And our position is not affected. We're always a child of God, but our communion is affected, that close relationship. And David said to have mercy upon me, verse 1. Verse 2, he says, "Wash me." Verse 3, he says, "For I acknowledge my transgressions." Verse 4, he says, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned." And then in verse number 6, he says, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts." Did you know that the Lord desires for us to be thorough through and through? The Lord wants everything to be brought to the surface. The Lord wants to deal with every area of our life. Although we're not perfect yet, that's not an excuse not to give the rights over to the Lord. He says, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts." Then he says, "And in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom." David said, "Lord, you have a way. I mean, I've given you everything, but there was just one little part, and because you desire truth in the innermost part of the man, and because I'm a child of you, you made me to know truth in that inward part. The part that I was holding back on you, Lord. The part that I thought that I had together." How many times in life do we do that? We give God 99%. But we hold back on 1%. Oh, surely the Lord's going to overlook this. It's only 1%. I've given Him 99%. I want to say this morning that He owns 100%. And because of His rights to us, and because we belong to Him, God desires inward truth. And He has a way of allowing us to discover that we are faulty creatures and that we need a touch from Him. So He says, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom." David is saying, your sin will find you out. In verse number 7, he says, "Purge me." In verse number 8, he says, "Make me. Make me to hear joy and gladness." In verse number 9, he says, "Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities." Verse number 10, "Create in me a clean heart." I'm just jumping through these. Verse number 12, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." And then when all of these things are dealt with, when David acknowledges his woes, and David acknowledges God wants 100, not 99, verse number 13, a transition happens, or a transaction happens. David gives the Lord his sin, and the Lord gives David joy. Verse number 13, he says, "Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." Then, when all of this is out, then. Did you know this morning that sin or holding back on God will cause us not to perform like we should? Someone who is retaining sin or entertaining sin in their life and not giving it over, but deliberately saying, "No, Lord, I'm keeping this." Sin has a way of allowing you and causing you to retreat away from God. Retreat away and backslide from the things of God. Someone who was once a soul winner, but now they're entertaining sin. And they have a kept area within the innermost part of their being, and they're entertaining that part. They're not giving it over to the Lord. Guess what's going to happen eventually? They're not going to be soul winning that much. And the more and more it's entertained, and the more it's being kept on the inside, it starts to grow. And then church attendance will fall off. And then they'll be out of church. And then there'll be family problems. And then eventually the house will be divided. And when the house is divided, then the house will be over. I want to say this morning that confession is not only a part of the sinner's prayer, but it's a part of the saint's prayer. David said, I have to be honest. I have to be clean. He said, Lord, have mercy on me. Wash me. I acknowledge my sin, Lord. I know you desire truth in the inward man. Purge me. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Hide thy face from my sins. Create in me a clean heart. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Then, Lord, I can serve like I need to. Then I'll be there to support my church. Then will I teach transgressors their ways. And listen, there's a lot of reasons why there's empty pews this morning. I know a lot of people are going out of town, and then a lot of people or some through the years and over a measure of space of time have left and went to other churches. But some people are not here because they are keeping within their heart something that does not belong to them. They are keeping at least 1% from God. Maybe at one time they were faithful and one time they were serving God, but they're holding back on God. And now all of a sudden they're not being fed at church. Now all of a sudden nobody needs to hear the gospel. What is that? Is it the preacher's fault? Is it the church's fault? Is it the deacon's fault? No. Whose fault is it? It's their fault. But nothing will change in their life till they agree that, Lord, as David says in verse number 4, against thee and thee only have I sinned. I believe that there's some that need to repent and they'll be back. Not only here, but all churches. Listen, I was talking to somebody the other day. This is a sign. This is evidence of the end of times. Churches aren't going to be packed out anymore. If there's a church that preaches Bible truth, gun barrel straight, with love and compassion, but not tippy-toeing, I don't look for the church to be packed out. But as the days and weeks and months and years and the closer we get to the return of the Lord and we don't know the hour or the time, the more straight the gospel's being preached, the more pews that are going to be empty. Because we're living in a time where people want to be tolerated and their sin. Well, you know, I have this problem and you need to deal with it. The person says, well, that's okay. I have a problem too. You deal with mine, I'll deal with yours. And listen, this is an ongoing problem. The love of many is waxing dim and dim, and there are some falling away from their steadfastness. There are some that are allowing the things of God to slip from their grips. That's why the Bible tells us that we're to meet more and more and not less and less. Call it what you will. Call it legalism. We have 3 services a week. I don't call it that. I call it accountability. I call it we need Jesus. I call it that we need to move forward with Jesus. Listen, if we only have a diet of preaching one time a week or 2 times a week, what kind of church are we going to be? But every time that the doors are open, we need to be here, and we need to open up the doors to be here more. Saying this morning that there is a place in the believer's life for confession. We're always to maintain confession. Be repented up to date. David said, Lord, when you show me these things and I see them, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Look at verse 14. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. Thou, God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Not only when a person is wrapped up in sin, it's not just sin that has them bound, but it's guilt that has them bound. They have opened up a door in their life and they're allowing the devil to trick them and behoove them and hoodwink them that the best life to live is a life away from God. The problem is it's like an insect in a spider web. The more they try to kick and pull and that insect tries to get free and break free, it gets more and more wound up in that web. And then the spider comes in for the kill. There's many, and listen, none of us are above this to fall away from our steadfastness. But there are many that are in sin this morning. There are many that have given the devil a door to their life. And not only is it the sin, but there's guiltiness, a guilty conscience. Deliver me, David said, from blood guiltiness. O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. He goes on in verse number 15. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou desirest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. We see this morning that this is a prayer that you find repetitively through Scripture, not only that of adoration, thanking God for who He is, but this prayer of confession. And it is the sinner's prayer, the saint's prayer. But notice the letter T. There, and T stands for, and you'll find repetitively in Scripture, thanksgiving. The prayer of thanksgiving. Now, the prayer of adoration is praising God for who He is. But the prayer of thanksgiving is praising God for what He does. And there's a difference. We praise God for who He is. We take a time out and we enter into our prayer closet, that time of quietness, and we just reflect upon who He is. And we allow it to little by little register within our spirit until we're convinced and all the worry floods away and we know that He's our sustainer. We know He's our healer. We know He's our provider. We've seen what He's done in the past. Though we need a miracle now, it's not deterring me from my steadfastness because I know that in God's time, He'll provide because He's provider. We adore Him, and then we enter into other times for confession. Lord, please forgive me of my sins. Please forgive me, Lord, from straying from You. I know I'm saved, but I want that close communion. Then there's thanksgiving. It's the prayer or praise when we enter into His presence. Not only do we thank God for who He is, but for what He does. Look in Psalm. We're still in Psalm. Look at Psalm 103, if you would, for a moment. Psalm 103. What does God do for us? Number one, Psalm 103, verse 1, David said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless His holy name." David said that I'm going to praise the Lord through the method of prayer. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Well, what does God do for us in our life that we could come into His presence and just thank Him for what He does? Number one, He forgives all our iniquities. This morning, our past sins, present sins, and future sins are all gone. Not only that, but He says, "Who healeth all our diseases," or "who healeth all thy diseases." There's more than one kind of disease this morning. There's physical disease, there's spiritual disease, and God will heal spiritual and physical disease through one way or the other on His timing. Don't know the method, don't know the time, but we do know that He's a God who heals. And so God, this morning, He forgives us of all of our sins. He heals us from all our diseases. In verse number 4, He redeems our life from destruction. I thank the Lord that He saved me when He did. I was heading down a wrong path fast. And the bad part about it, as if that wasn't bad enough, I was slick about it. All my friends ended up in jail or the graveyard. My brother even ended up in jail for a long time. But you see, I was slick about my sin. Yeah. Oh, just, you know, everybody else, they're all in jail, and I'm going to go see them, and we're going to funerals, and, you know, people are passing drug overdose and alcohol and all that kind of stuff. But then, when all the friends were dying and all the friends were being in jail, it was just me. And I was at my grandparents' house and everybody worked and it was just me left every morning in my state of mind, defeated and everybody gone. And that was the glorious time when the Lord spoke to me and began to deal with me and showed me there's a better life to live. And He saved me just in time. I don't know what would have happened if I continued on that road. But I know it wouldn't have been a good road because of the lifestyle of the life I was living, the friends I was having. It was drugs and alcohol and it was fights and it was family problems, domestic violence and things of that nature. Thank God that He's a God who gives benefits. He redeems us from a life of destruction. Not only here, but a life of destruction that would have been in hell. Notice the second part of that verse. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The word crowneth here is through the idea of a circle as a crown. It's a circular motion. It's a crown. You know that every one of us that's saved by the grace of God, we have got on a crown from God, in a sense, because God crowns us. He encircles our life with tender mercies. He encircles our life with loving kindness. He crowns us. It's as if we all have crowns this morning. And we're all encircled by the love of God and His tender mercies. I like what someone said. In fact, it's mentioned in the book of Lamentations that, O Israel, thy crown has fallen. And that's reference to someone or a nation not accepting the forgiveness of God and rebelling on God, that sometimes your crown falls off in a sense. You've got to accept what God has done and to acknowledge that it's nothing that you can do or get back on the right path. It's everything that God has done. God has crowned us, whether you realize it or not. But then verse number 5, he says, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. We serve a God who satisfies. Satisfies. Now, y'all hold on now. It's taken me about 20 minutes to get geared up. I'm like a diesel sometimes. It takes a while. But once I get hooked up, we're about ready to go. He satisfies us. The Lord does. With good things. This morning, He satisfies us, He crowns us, He redeems us, He heals us, He forgives us. And so whenever we come into His presence, we're to come with a prayer of thanksgiving, thanking God for what He's done. And then we're to come with adoration, thanking God for who He is. And then right there in the middle, we're to come into His presence with confession. Lord, I've dropped the ball. Please help me in my Christian life. And then lastly, we'll be through. There's the acts of prayer, A for adoration, C for confession, T for thanksgiving, and then S for supplication. Turn, if you would, to Philippians 4 and verse number 6. Philippians 4, verse 6. He tells us in Philippians 4, verse number 6, to be careful for nothing. There you are. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Prayer is the method. Supplication is the type. Prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The word supplication here means request. It means concerns or needs. So he tells us that we're to come before him with our concerns or our needs. Sometimes in life we come before the Lord with concerns that pertain unto ourselves. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And look at verse number 7. This is how I know that these are prayers for ourselves. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And sometimes it's supplications, it's prayers of supplications or concerns. We're to come before the Lord with concerns of ours, needs we have concerning ourselves. The Bible tells us when we do that, that there's going to be a peace bestowed upon us. But not only there's the prayer for ourselves when it comes to this prayer supplication, but then there's the prayer for others. Look in Galatians chapter number 6 for a moment, and we'll bring it to a close. Galatians chapter number 6. Notice what he says in verse number 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Verse number 1 of chapter 6, we see this prayer for repair. It's a repairing prayer. He says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault or an error or a slip or a stumble, if someone is overtaken by that in their life, ye which are spiritual or ye which are mature, restore such a one. The word restore has to do with placing the bone back together. It's someone that has, or in someone who's experiencing brokenness in their life due to a fault, a slip, or a failure. And let me say this morning that the church doesn't need to be accusers of the brethren, but the church needs to be menders of the brethren. He tells us to restore, as a doctor would reset a bone gently and slowly, and apply the ointment and bandage it and nurse it. That's the same way that we are to be for a brethren or a sister, and that is been overtaken in a fault. But this is all done in one through prayer. Sometimes this prayer supplication for others is known as an interceding prayer. It's interceding on the behalf of someone else. It's standing in the gap and praying for them that God would tenderly restore them. So we see that this prayer for others has to do with a prayer of repair. But then verse number 2, this prayer has to do with taking up of the hands. Verse 2, he says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. He says, bear ye one another's burdens. That phrase means to take up with the hands. He says there's prayers of repair. It's when not only we pray, but we're active in their life. We help them as best as we can, but we pray for repair. But then we bear their burdens. We take it up into our life. And I kind of picture it this way. Bear ye one another's burdens, taken up of the hands. You're in the praying position. Just because the way somebody looks this morning does not mean they have it all together. Just because you may be talking to someone today and they may be smiling and telling jokes does not mean they don't need an intercessor. I found out that everybody is not going to tell areas they need help in. But sometimes there's patterns with people and you can see. And God lets you know that they need some repair in their life and they need someone to help take that burden up. This morning, when it comes to this area of prayer, I believe there's the prayer for ourselves. When it comes to supplication, then there's prayer for others. There's prayers of adoration. We thank God for who He is. There's prayers of confession. There's prayers of thanksgiving, thanking God for what He does. And prayers of supplication, ourselves and others. Let's stand to our feet this morning. We'll give a verse of invitation. If you need to come and pray, You can use the ACTS method.